In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. I was joking with the early service. I said, when we have a nice short gospel, I like to cover each word individually in my sermon. I know some days it probably feels like that anyway. The good news is I'm actually going to be speaking to you about Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, which is a much shorter section, but I'll drag it out as far as I can. As I was reading this, I was recognizing that there is a phrase that I think many of us are familiar with. And I'll say it. I know I've said it before, although maybe I should never say it again, and I should have never said it. And maybe you've heard yourself say it. And let me know if this is familiar to you. People never change. You've heard that one. That's a very interesting concept for the church, isn't it? Especially considering the teaching that Paul is giving on this ministry of reconciliation, and most especially should be a challenge for those of us sitting here as members of this portion of Christ's body here at Holy Innocent Episcopal Church, where our mission is transforming lives, transforming the world. Now, I think we love the word transforming, but isn't it just change? Didn't think about that, huh? It's a little nerve-wracking to think about it, isn't that? Changing lives, changing the world. Kind of means the same, doesn't it? It gets worse. Changing our lives might change the world. Amen? Amen. So here's the struggle. It's change. And I suspect that's been an ongoing struggle in the church as Paul is teaching this church today, again, and was teaching this church in the first century, that transformation is a real thing. Change is a real thing. But he gives us a little hint as to why it's true. First, let me reflect on what Paul says. Verse 16, chapter 5. From now on, therefore, regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So Christ has changed. Amen? So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. And the only way we can really see someone as a new creation is if we allow God to reach into us and by the power of his Holy Spirit make us a new creation. And then we begin to see things differently. We begin to see what it is God is doing. We begin to see Christ in one another. We begin to see beyond our own desires and possibly beyond the reality that we have created. If we are a new creation, we are going to have a new identity. And so difficult to take when we live in a world that tells us what our identity is. It tells us that by our station of life, so to speak. It will tell us that by the color of our skin, the way in which we love, the way in which we care for another. It tells us this through every aspect of our lives. And sometimes we are told these things by the way in which we have been treated, the way in which we have been hurt and wounded and shamed. And with that becomes our identity. But through Christ, we are a new creation. We can become that rather ugly caterpillar, the ones that are living in my backyard, and become a beautiful butterfly. Now, the one thing I know for sure is I see all the ugly caterpillars. I very rarely see the butterflies. But I know that it's happening, and I know that it's happening for each one of us. We are being made new, a new creation. And the one thing that really brings that into reality is the reconciliation. So we hear from Paul this. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. So if we are reconciled to God through Christ, we have the opportunity to become this new creation. This opportunity to be more as God intended us to be, and less of what the world may have told us we are. And I had to think, well, reconciliation, that's a nice word. So being one who likes words, I went looking, what exactly does reconciliation mean? And of course, looking on the internet, I could look until I found the definition I wanted. So I find this definition. Restoration of friendly relations. Yeah, that's kind of okay. Yeah, everybody wants friendly relations. Yeah, but it then says this, the making of one view compatible with another. Now I think about this reconciliation to God. Maybe it sounds more like this in the church. To align our will with God's will. God's idea, not ours. Reconciliation. In order for us to be reconciled to God, we have to acknowledge that pieces of us, parts of our lives, maybe something deep in the depth of our soul, is not in alignment with God's idea. But through Jesus Christ, his very body and blood, we have been given the opportunity to make that alignment with God. And Paul's reminding the church today, that's what we should be doing. And there's a reason for it, brothers and sisters. There is a reason. And that reason is this, Paul goes on. Christ has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I don't know about you, but it's getting a little hard to catch my breath right now. This sounds like more change to me and more change of me. Now, I can say to you, not necessarily a huge fan of change. Now, many of you might think that's not true. But I'm familiar with change, is what I've come to understand. God has changed me so dramatically, I am almost unrecognizable to some. I used to run our family business down in Sarasota. I worked it for many years prior to that. We had clients that were clients for decades. And at some point in my reconciliation to God, I said something out loud to God and probably to somebody else nearby. God, I will do anything you ask me to do. Do not say that if you don't mean it. And I found myself going to seminary. And then I return to the same area. And my mentor, or a more seasoned priest in my area, I would meet with on a weekly basis. He happened to be in Sarasota. So I would go to Sarasota, and we would walk to lunch down the street in Sarasota, usually to the Mexican restaurant, which was his preference. And I don't know if you're aware of how Sarasota is laid out these days, but every restaurant on Main Street in Sarasota has tables on the sidewalk. So we're walking down the sidewalk in the same town where I had run the business and been involved in the same business for almost two decades. And as I'm walking with my mentor, who is a priest and looks like one, and myself, who is a priest and looks like one, and as I'm walking, I look up and I see a client from the business sitting at a table having lunch. And our eyes meet. And he burst out laughing. And then he's laughing, he goes, I'm sorry. He catches himself. He's now laughing at the priest, who he sees as Brian. He goes, what happened? And then he apologizes again. I said, it's okay. There is no one here that thinks this is more funny than myself. God has changed me so dramatically through reconciling me to himself through Jesus Christ, that I'm literally unrecognizable to people who used to know me. Now, some of you might hear that and be horrified. And I would say, don't be. See, because unless you are 1,000% happy that you are exactly who you are supposed to be and you are 100% comfortable in your skin and there's absolutely nothing about you that needs to be changed, well, that would be amazing. But I don't know too many people like that. And the person I was before my reconciliation to God through Jesus Christ was absolutely the best person I could be on my own. And through my reconciliation to God through Jesus Christ, I have become more the person that God intended me to be when He created me. See, He creates us, we recreate us, the world is allowed to recreate us, and then we discover, huh, this just isn't that much fun. And then we have a choice. We can just trudge through, or we can say, there's got to be more. And we may even say to God, I will do anything you ask me to do. And He will. And He will change you, brothers and sisters. It is change. But there's this wonderful concept that happens in it, right? And we know why, and the why is what? So that we can do this ministry that has been given to us, this ministry of reconciliation. We have the same role and have been asked to do the same role, that we are to bring this understanding of Jesus Christ to others so that they can come to know what God is going to do to them. And I say to them, I understand how that sounds because that's how it sometimes feels. See what God will do to them to make them more of what He intended. And what could be better than that? Good. Nobody has a good answer. Perfect. There is nothing better. And there is nothing scarier. Because the reality is, our reconciliation to God through Jesus Christ, just as Christ Himself is not as He was once seen, will change us in such a way, transform us in such a way that we may not be seen in the same way that we were seen before. And in a world where change has become very, very clear and very, very evident, the whole world has changed in the last 2 years, amen? Can we deny that? The whole world has changed. Our daily lives have changed. The way in which we go about our lives has changed. The way in which we shop, the way in which we attend church services, the way in which we move in the world in general is just changed. And brothers and sisters, this community has changed. And what we see is dependent upon how we focus on the one who makes the changes. So we can have multiple perceptions of what's happening right here at Holy Innocence. So on any given week, I may hear from somebody who's like, oh, Father, the church is dying. And I'm thinking, what church are you going to? But that's a perception. That's what happens if we get stuck. But when we embrace the fact that everything around us has changed, and as a result, we have been changed, and as a result of that, everything changes, especially this community. God is changing us, reconciling us, drawing us nearer to Him, aligning His ideas, or our ideas, I should say, with His. And as that happens, things look different. And it's hard. It's so hard sometimes to recognize. And we can go looking for what was. I could go looking for who I was. But who I was is no more. We could look to Jesus and say, well, you know, this would be a whole lot easier, Jesus, if you just came back and walked among us. But I don't think anybody wants Jesus to come back in human form. We want Jesus to come back and reign as king, amen, in His kingdom. That's what we're looking for and waiting for. But the time has not yet come, and the changes continue. Nothing stays the same. And it's a little odd in our situation after 2 years, right? We had something, and it was good. And then it kind of became a different piece of our life, maybe even a lesser piece, because there just wasn't a choice. And then we came back and went, this isn't what I left. Well, thanks be to God. Because what we left doesn't work in the world that we live in anymore, because it's not the same. So we're changing. We're being transformed so that we can transform the world. So in our process, we want to be looking to God. We want to be looking to Jesus. We want to be saying, what do we do now? Because he has the plan. And I agree, it's been a pain. That was a good word. It's not the one that I was thinking. In the midst of it, at some point, I called out to God. I said, I'm done. I was not called to be a priest in the middle of a pandemic. I do not know how to do this. I barely know how to be a priest at all, and now I'm in the middle of a pandemic. This was not my call. And God simply says to me, really? And then it's another, oh, Brian, when will you ever learn? My plan, my idea, align with me, reconcile to me, come nearer to me. He has the plan. So we are trying not to dig our heels in. We are trying to be in motion. Aspects of what we were remain, many of them. The foundation is there. But the reality is God did not call us to go back. He's called us to go forward, and the only way forward is towards him. We need to sort out in our struggle together, just as I continually sort out in our struggle together. What does God want? Because just as I have been transformed, and many of you have been transformed, and all of us are still being transformed, this whole community is being transformed. And in the midst of that transformation, we are discovering exactly what I know about myself. I don't want to go back to who I was. And I assure you, you don't want me to go back to who I was. I mean, this is as good as it's gotten so far, so you can just imagine what it was before. Doesn't mean I was bad, but I'm so much better when it's about God and not about me. As we move forward, I say, seek out God. And if God pushes you and stretches you, be pushed and stretched. Embrace the fact that we know that when the Creator reaches into our lives to make us a new creation, we are His creation, not ours. And I just can't imagine what could be better than that. I already did the best I could do, and it just wasn't what he wanted. Now I can see what God wants to do. And when I'm faithful and obedient, that's when I really see his glory. And there are days, do not get me wrong, when I know exactly what God's calling me to do, and I just don't like it. If I'm just not doing that. That happens nowadays for about 3 to 5 minutes. And then I find myself going to do exactly what God's called me to do. Not because I'm excited about it, but because in my humanity, the best I can be is obedient and trusting that when I do what God calls me to do, no matter how difficult, no matter how far out of my comfort zone, no matter how strange it may look or strange it may feel to another person, even if they laugh in my face and go, what happened, when I do what God's called me to do, especially in the moments I don't want to, that is when his glory is most evident to me. It's when we get out on the edge with Jesus, brothers and sisters, where we understand what it means to live for him and with him and in him. That is where the church is being called to go. Isn't it funny that God clarifies this call to his church when we think the world is collapsing and he's saying to the church, well, people won't come in the building, maybe you should go outside of it. That takes some change, transformation even, because there's a world waiting to be transformed, because God is making a new creation. This world, our daily lives, us as individuals, and Holy Innocents as his church. A new creation. Doesn't mean the old one was bad. It just means in a new time, in a new place, in a new season, he has a new way. And he's calling us to live into our own mission statement, transformed lives, transforming the world. We'll feel it, and we have. But when we align our idea with his, and we are reconciled, the glory of God will shine through, and we will be able to live more easily into the ministry he's given us, a ministry of reconciliation of all God's people to him.